Tonight to the book of Ephesians is where we're going to start off with. We're going to establish a principle, and then we're going to go to a couple other passages, and there's one certain passage we're going to look at, spend most of our time on. Ephesians chapter number 5, it's a familiar passage of Scripture. It kind of goes along with their theme, and there are some things we're going to look at over the summertime this year about understanding the will of the Lord. Sometimes we get things mixed up, and sometimes we don't always understand what God says about certain things. And tonight we're going to look at an example, a couple examples of how the disciples didn't really, they thought they had the mind of God. They thought they understood what God's will would be according to certain circumstances, and they just got it wrong. And Jesus is teaching some important things. Ephesians chapter number 5, look what it says at verses 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, actually go all the way down to verse number 18. Verse number 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Great passages of Scripture, just keep on going and keep on reading, and you start hearing about how the husband is supposed to treat the wife, and the wife is supposed to treat the husband. Later on, he even goes down in chapter number 6, what the children are supposed to do, and how servants and masters, all these different relationships. So I think sometimes people forget what these verses look like. And talking about walking circumspectly means walking carefully, trying to understand your surroundings. And then it continues on by saying, not as fools. And in the passage of Scripture we're going to look at tonight, the Bible says that Jesus was much displeased at something the disciples did. And when we look at that, we have an understanding that they thought they were doing something good, they thought they were doing something right, but he was much displeased with them because they didn't have the mind of God. And that's when it comes down to verse number 17, understanding what the will of the Lord is. It goes along with their theme, it's knowing, understanding the will of God. That's what we really should be seeking for in our life, because there are so many different outside sources, so many different people trying to get our attention, so many different things that are trying to influence us, and so many different things that have their own opinions when it comes to certain topics and certain areas of our life, that we need to silence all those things that are around us and truly seek the Lord and understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. See, Pastor, it's a bad time that we live in. It's a hard time. Can we really know the will of the Lord? And specifically, he's saying there, we need to be careful with the time that we have. We need to redeem. We need to buy back that time because the days are evil. It's even more important today that we will understand what the will of the Lord is. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do not be unwise. Do not walk as fools, as it talks about in verse number 15, thinking that we understand what God's will is, but never truly looked in his word, never truly sought after his face. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine. And I know we use this as an often illustration because it just tells us how a person, when they are drunk with wine, when they're in excess, they no longer can control themselves. But that's what the idea of being filled with the Spirit is, that we're led and guided and directed by the Spirit of God. We do things that we never thought we could. We act certain ways that we never thought we could act. We are kind sometimes where we never thought we could be kind. We're forgiving sometimes when we feel like there's nothing in us that would want to forgive. It's when we let the Holy Spirit control us, he will act, himself will come out through us as we allow him to control. So there's the principle, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now let's go to Luke chapter number 9 and kind of prove the principle in one instance. Happened more than once when people thought they were doing the will of God and God had to correct them. Luke chapter number 9 is one of the probably more famous ones, or ones that we've alluded to in the past. They wanted to do something. They didn't like what happened. They thought this is the way Jesus was going to respond, but instead Jesus rebukes them. Luke chapter number 9, look what it says in verse 52. And said, and sent messengers, we'll go verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So he's headed to the cross. He's headed to the cross to die for the sins of mankind. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. So the people in the village of Samaria didn't want anything to do with Jesus. They knew where he was going. They knew that he was just passing through. It says in verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they weren't happy. They said, how in the world could somebody treat Jesus like this? We need to be offended for Jesus. We need to do something. And they asked, and they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? He says, should we burn them up? They didn't want anything to do with you. And then Jesus' response, but he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. He says, you don't even understand what type of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. In all reality, what they're doing is they want to do something in the name of Christ. And sometimes we do things in the name of Christ and we feel like we got God all over us and we got God's will. And we just blow up on somebody because that's what we feel like God would do. It's just not the way he would handle the situation. And so it comes to the principle is, do we want to understand what the will of the Lord is? Or do we want to please our flesh? And it's a challenging thing. And so now we're going to go to Mark chapter number 10. And this is where we're going to speak for a little while on Mark chapter number 10. Suffer the little children to come unto me. I think sometimes people get the idea of how God views children in the wrong way. And sometimes I think people misunderstand the purpose of us bringing people to the Lord. And just having a good understanding of how God is interested in children also. I remember one time going out on a visit as a new assistant pastor, they gave me this card, and it was almost vacation Bible school time or something with the kids, and someone said, here, go visit this family. They got two little girls there, and I don't remember their names at all, and go visit the family, talk to the mom, see if you can get these girls. They haven't been here for a few years. It's one of the great things about being new. You can give all those visits that they've already turned you down, give them to somebody else, and let them try, because I got somebody, and I says, well, when's the last time you talked to them? But that's beyond the point. So I go, and I knock on the door, and I talk with the lady, and the lady says this to me. She said something similar. Once again, you get old, you forget things exactly word for word, so I'm not quoting her, but here's the gist. My girls want to go to church, but I don't want them to go. And first, the obvious response is, why? I mean, I'm new at this, and I've never met somebody who says, yeah, they want to go, but I'm not going to let them. And she said this. She says, I don't want the church people influencing them until they're old enough to make the decision for themselves. Now, 20 years later in the ministry, I would have probably asked some other questions. Back then, I just didn't know what to say. I said, okay. I said, I'll be praying for them. You know, today I would say, well, you send them to school. They did go to a public school. I says, those teachers there are influencing them. They have different clubs they go to, other things they're a part of, because I tried to talk to the lady a little bit. They didn't mind anyone else influencing them. They just didn't want anybody to talk to them about Jesus. To show them, hey, here's an option. No one's going to force Christ on anyone. At least that's not the plan. That's not our plan here at our church. It's to force and push someone into Christ. We just want to bring people to Jesus and let people make the decision for themselves. Yes, we'll preach passionately. Yes, we'll teach passionately because we believe he is the Son, God, the God's Son, and we believe that he is the only one, the only way to heaven. We believe that only Jesus, like we heard the choir sing this morning, and there are plenty of people trying to influence our children, trying to influence teenagers, and even trying to influence all of us. And this lady, and I know I've heard the excuse now over the last 19 or 20 years quite frequently, saying, no, we don't want, there's even people out there today that have tried to pass a law that people shouldn't be able to teach children about hell or about Jesus Christ because that's wrong to teach a child about that. And it's amazing what you would think of some of those things that people try to pass as laws nowadays, what you read and say, I can't believe that. And it never went through. But that's the thinking of some people. They have the right to know about evolution. That's a lie. They have a right to know about transgenderism. They have a right to know about homosexuality. They have a right to know and teach all these other world religions. But don't talk to them about Jesus is what they think. And that's a challenge, and that's where I think the lady had bought into that thinking, and obviously those girls never came. Don't know anything about them today, but I remember sitting there. I remember coming back, and the secretary at the time said to me, so how'd your visit go? And I said to her, and once again, I kind of was, oh, this is what the lady said, and her heart was, I could tell, was smitten by it. And she said the words that's found here where it says, suffer the little children to come unto me. And her heart was broken. Mine was still a little bit dumbfounded. And I'm thinking, okay, if a mom feels that way, you know, and she quoted that verse, and I went and read that verse. It's the idea that there are some people who didn't think the kids needed to come to Jesus. And in this passage, it actually says the disciples told him to stay away, and that Jesus was much displeased at him. So let's look here in Mark chapter number 10. Let's read verses 13 through 16. The title of tonight's message is, Suffer the Little Children to Come Unto Me. And they brought young children to him. Now, let me honestly say here, I understand that these are probably toddler type age, maybe younger. More than likely is not someone that's going to learn something from the teaching of Jesus at that moment in time. These parents or whoever their caregivers wanted these people to be familiar with Jesus. They wanted Jesus to bless them. During that time period, it was often that they would bring the child to a rabbi for a blessing. This is no ordinary rabbi. This is God's son. And he brought the children as a visible means of saying, hey, we want our children to be near Jesus. We want to be comfortable with Jesus. Sometimes we think about when people dedicate their child before the church, what are they doing? They're making a covenant before God and before their church family, before their physical family. Hey, we are planning to raise this child the way that God wants us to raise him, in nurture and admonition of the Lord. But also gives the idea that the pastor will pray over the child too, and the idea that blessing on their life, to come to know Christ at a young age, that God would use them in the future, and all those other wonderful things. But here, these children, they're bringing him there, and they're bringing these kids to Jesus. They wanted to be familiar with Jesus. They wanted to be near Jesus. They wanted to be comfortable with Jesus. And with that thought, I think we can definitely bring the application of how do we bring the people Jesus today? We bring them to church. We teach them about Jesus. We show them who they are and the children that goes along with that. And it says that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And the disciples said, no, hey, don't worry about it. And it says rebuked. It actually, you know, said they had done something wrong about, and I don't think the disciples were against kids. I've met some people who act like they're against kids, but I don't think that people really are against kids. I just think the disciples thought Jesus is so busy, he has so much that is important things that he's doing, that he doesn't have time for little kids and for babies. And I love the fact that Jesus tells us something different. Look what it says in verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. There's a few times when it talks about Jesus being much displeased, using other words, but he's very upset. And said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. I just think it sounds beautiful. In this passage, the disciples, they missed something. They thought they had it figured out. They thought they knew what Jesus wanted. They thought this is how Jesus would respond. Not only did he just say, hey, they don't have time. It says the disciples rebuked them and saying, you did something wrong by bringing this child to Jesus. Don't you think that Jesus is too valuable and too important? He can't waste your time with them. Now, these are the guys that got to spend all the time alone with Jesus. I mean, they knew what it was like, and he was a busy guy. And what does it teach us? It teaches us that God loves the kids. Jesus loves the kids. Jesus loves those that people don't think he should take time with. Jesus loves those that most people would say, like they said to blind Bartimaeus, hey, hold thy peace. Jesus doesn't have time for a blind man sitting on the side of the road begging. He doesn't have time for someone like that. But Jesus stands still. He calls him to come over. Jesus, people don't think he should take time for the woman with the issue of blood that reaches out and touches the hem of his garment over and over in our minds. If we want to understand what the will of the Lord is that there's none that should perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to come to repentance. He's interested in all knowing who he is. He's interested in the children. He's interested in the blind beggar. He's interested in the Nicodemus. He's interested in everybody from all walks of life, from all different type of races, from all different type of social statuses. And he's interested that people would bring them to Jesus. And the first thing I want you to think about, the wisdom of bringing children to Jesus. The wisdom of bringing children to Jesus. They wanted their kids to be used to Jesus. They wanted to bring the kids to Jesus. And the thought behind that is there's a lot of wisdom to getting people, our children, around those that love the Lord. There's a danger from keeping kids from church. As I told you earlier in that story, I don't want my girls to get influenced by those church people. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I do remember that. The word kid is used for an animal. Yes, sir. I understand that. I understand that, and I apologize if I offended you. And he has spoken to me about that before. And so, once again, in the day and time that we live in, doesn't make it right. But when they use the word kid for a child, and it's something that if we want to be honest about the Bible and the Word of God, I understand what Mr. Reed is saying there. And it is children. I think everyone understands when I was talking about it, wasn't talking about animals, but I do realize the difference that is there. And that's the reason why we're using word kid, because that's something that's accepted today. Doesn't make it right, but that's something that was there. So when we talk about children there, it's something that we come from. There's wisdom to bringing children to God. There's an idea there of, are we truly being something that's attractive? Is it something that really is bringing someone to God when we act the way we act? Is it something that we turn around and we look at, and are we bringing these children to Jesus? Are we thinking about, hey, is what I'm doing causing someone to sit there and say, hey, this is a God that you need to love. This is a God you need to serve. This is what should be said, and this is what should be done. And I want you to get to the point is, are we bringing these children to the Lord? Many times people who are influenced by God is because of the fact that they don't let their children get to God. They don't get to the point where they have the opportunity where they allow God to influence them. They want to keep them away. They're okay with their coaches influencing them. They're okay with everyone else influencing them, but they're not okay with the people that love the Lord influencing them. So there's the point here is the issue that comes to this is there's a wisdom to bringing children to the Lord. It's even more dangerous for a parent who will discourage your child from doing something God's called them to do. I've actually had the interest and heard somebody said, why is that child going to give his life away or throw his life away serving God? You ever heard that before? I've had somebody say, that young person is too talented, too special. That they shouldn't waste their life in a Bible college. They shouldn't waste their life in another part of the world. They shouldn't waste their life preaching. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. Whatever God's plan for your life is, that's what you should embrace. And that I've seen parents say, I don't want them to waste their children to waste their lives serving God because there's not enough money for that. There's not enough time for that. Don't get me wrong, not everyone's called into a full-time ministry, but the best thing you can do with your life is to do whatever the Lord's called you to do. Mark 8:35 says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospels, the same shall save it. I have literally heard people say they're going to waste their life away. But what better thing can they do with their life than to lose it for Christ's sake? What better thing can they do with their life than what the Bible says, for the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. The sad thing is, when people of faith fail to lead to influencing their children for Christ. They don't share the gospel with them. They don't live a life that's connected with them. They do things that don't point people to Christ. They do things and act in certain ways that aren't saying, here, this is what Jesus would respond. This is what Jesus would do. All those different things. They wanted their children to be near Jesus. They wanted to bring their children there. They wanted to be a part. And I'm interested in what we have to say here. Are we bringing people, not just people, are we bringing children? To say, this is what Jesus looks like. This is how Jesus would respond. Second thing I want you to think about is the foolishness of keeping them away. the foolishness of keeping them away. There's a well-known American evangelist, D.L. Moody, was once asked about the response to his revival meeting at which he preached and responded that 2.5 souls had been saved. Someone says, hey, when he came back from the meeting, how many people got saved? And he says, 2.5 souls got saved. The person said, you must mean 2 children and 1 adult accepted Christ. And he said, no, it was 2 children and 1 adult. That's 2 adults and 1 children, being the idea that the child has all their life to live for God, but the adult only has half of their life now to give to God. It says even in Mark 9, 36 and 37, he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. They knew that Jesus loved children. They knew that Jesus had taken them in their arms already. They knew that Jesus cared. But the Bible says that Jesus said that he was much displeased in the way that he acted. He was much displeased. Do we really know the will of God? Are we really truly doing the will of God? What happens in our life? Are we really trying to understand the will of the Lord, or are we trying to push our own agenda? We trying to do what we think? Do we really feel led of the Lord? Have we looked in the scriptures? The disciples, he said they were much displeased in the way that they act. They were much displeased because they did what they thought was right. And you know what that was? It was wrong. So many times we will say something or do something that we feel is right. We'll just pop off, or we will just do things that we do in the name of God and say it's the way the Lord wanted us to do. And that's what the disciples were doing, but it much displeased him. This is why it's important we seek the face of God. This is why it's important that we seek his will. This is why it's important that we quench the Spirit. We do not quench the Spirit. We do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. This is why we must learn to pray and seek God's face, what is right and what is wrong, what must be said and what needs to stay silent, what must be happening and what needs not to happen. I think it's important that we bring people to Christ. I think it's very vitally important that we bring children to Christ. I think it's important. Here in the near future, we're going to start our van routes back up. And I know some people think that's great. Some people probably just don't really care one way or another. Some people don't like it. And not that they don't like it. They're not opposed to it, but they don't see the need for it. And I think sometimes the way that we react to those, and remember, children are interesting people. You love on them. You think they're great. You think they're nice. But at the same time, they're somebody who needs a lot of attention. They're someone who has a lot of needs. They're someone who occupies much space when it comes to how much activity they need. And some people think, should I invest in them? Should I do this? Should I do not? And I think this passage of Scripture teaches us that Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me. Suffer the little children to come unto me. And he says, hey, look, don't do anything that's going to hinder them. Don't do anything that's going to hinder a child from coming to me. And the same thing, if there's people out there who want to come to church, we need to do our best to make sure people are coming. We need to do our best to make sure that the child has availability to come. And we're going to do it in certain ways, and we're going to take certain steps and all those other things that make things that are done right. But sometimes when you have a van ministry or a bus ministry, you know what happens? There's hiccups sometimes. There are things that happen that sometimes a child who's never been in church doesn't know how to act. Sometimes somebody who's been in church all their life don't know how to act sometimes. And sometimes it comes to the point that we must learn to be patient and kind with them. I think we get some things wrong. I think when it says in Ephesians, understanding what the will of the Lord is something that is something we really should seek in our lives. Once again, we got to get past this idea of what is important to me and what I want to make sure happens, and say, God, what is your will? And the disciples thought they understood the will of the Lord, and guess what? They were much displeased. He was much displeased with them. Now, it's interesting at the end. It says, he says to them, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. It's talking about the childlike faith that comes from a young person. As I was reading through some of the surveys, And I didn't know how correct the numbers were. The surveys were from over 20 years ago, so I didn't read it. But it talked about the number of people that get saved after the age of 25. And it talked about how the majority of the people get saved before the age of 25, even before the age of 12, and began talking. I think the final number was that it was a 1 out of 70,000 people that would get saved over the age of 75. And it was huge. Those that come to know Christ as a child, those that come to be a believer as someone who's under the age of 25. And even in your own life, many of your testimonies I've heard, it's under the age of 25. And even in my own life and most of my family's life, it's still the same testimony. So what is it that we do? Why is it important to get children there? You think about it, what's the difference? A childlike faith that it talks about. Children are trusting. Children have no problem admitting they have a need. How many of us have heard of a baby that's going to be considerate when it's hungry? No, the baby cries. The baby wants to get its diaper changed. It lets people know. It knows it has a need. It knows it needs someone around them. Toddlers don't mind asking for people to tie their shoes. Children normally trust their caregivers that everything will be okay. Admitting that we have a need is what they're talking about here in the childlike faith that it's talking about. And he said to him, he says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." It's realizing that we have a need and that we need a Savior. It's realizing that we are sinners. It's a childlike faith and believing and trusting what Jesus Christ has done. And I look at it and I also think children are someone who are easy to teach. They're teachable. They're trusting. They're humble. They're dependent. They're so trusting they have to be warned not to talk to strangers. They are so humble that they readily accept what they are told. They are so dependent that they simply rest in the ability and the willingness of those that are around them to meet their needs. Whether it be for food or clothing or shelter, most children are not someone who is having the opportunity to say, "Oh, I'm worried where my next meal comes from." And I know some young people have that stress, but most young people have allowed someone else to take care of those things. And that is the idea of coming with a childlike faith. They have no problem admitting there is a need. Do you have a problem admitting that there's a need in your life? Do you have a problem admitting when you've done something wrong? Do you have a problem in going humbly before the Lord and say, "I might not understand what the will of the Lord is concerning this issue, but I want to know." So tonight when you sit there and you look at it and you consider what Jesus was saying, he was much displeased because he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Is there something that we're doing in our life that's displeasing God? Is there something in our life that he's saying, "I don't approve of what you're doing"? Now, we might be doing it in the name of Christ. We might be saying, "It's got to be done that way. It has to be done that way." But at the same time, is Jesus saying to you, "You don't know what spirit you're of"? Have you got to the moment in time where you've forced yourself to where he says, "You know not what spirit you're of"? And I still remember what that lady said to me. "I don't want those church people influencing my kids, my children. I don't." And the reality is, are we influencing our children to get to Jesus? Now, let me say this. Children, as the Bible talks about, need discipline. They don't run the church. God's never given them that chance, never told them to do that. We don't cater to people. We don't cater to anyone. But at the same time, children should have the opportunity to be children. They should be able to be impressed with Jesus. We should be willing to bring them there. And he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." I think we would do well in our hearts and lives to say, "I want to know what God's will is for my life. I want to seek the scriptures and I want to find out what it is." It's easy to be like the disciples and say, "Let's just burn them all up." It'd be easy to be like the disciples that says, "Jesus doesn't have time for you. Just go away. Don't want to be bothered with you." Jesus is the one that says, and he shows that he cares, loves others. And he says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." I want to encourage you tonight. Make sure you're doing the will of the Lord in your life. ask yourself, am I doing anything in my own heart and life to bring someone to Jesus? And these children that are influenced, some for good, some for bad, these children that are influenced by others and what they see because they're teachable, are we teaching them to get to Jesus? Are we? I know sometimes in a parent, we give them plenty of opportunities. We do. We give plenty of opportunities to let people influence them. Are we getting them to Jesus in our life? Are we showing them and teaching them in our own lives? Is it something we want them to reflect Christ because they see Christ in us? That's not always the case in churches. And we need to be careful who we allow to influence. We need to be careful what we're bringing across. I've seen it happen too many times where someone, whether it's even a Christian parent, there's the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Are we leading people to Christ? Are we giving them the opportunity to see? I think it's important that we learn and we grow and that we bring people to Christ with our actions. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Tonight's message is supposed to be an encouragement to make sure we're doing things God's way, but also for you to be praying that the Lord will allow us to bring some young people or even old people to our church that don't have a ride, so that way we can get them close to Jesus. And hopefully close to people that are acting like him too. Let's pray.